Phoenix, Arizona, as a sign of what you're doing in this moment, in this season. I thank you, God, that everything's about to change. You are good. Away the pollution. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, high five 3 or 4 people. Tell them it's about to rain in your world big time. Tell them Jesus loves them. Tell them you love them. God's not called us to be thermometers and tell him what the temperature is. God's called us to be thermostats and do change for this month called In Between. We're going to talk about the in-betweens of life. It's really where we spend a whole lot, if not most, of our journey. Before I do, let me begin with something funny. A priest and a pastor were standing by the side of the road, holding up a sign that read, "The end is near. Turn around now before it's too late." A passing driver yells, "You guys are nuts," and speeds past them. From around the curve, they can hear screeching tires, then a huge splash. The priest turns to the pastor and says, "Do you think we should just put up a sign that says 'Bridge out' instead?" Okay. It made me laugh. I don't know. I apparently have a very peculiar sense of humor. Hey, this morning as we open God's Word, I apologize, we don't have notes. We'll put the scriptures on the screen for you. Reading from Acts 27 and 28 is our main text today. The book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke, the Apostle Luke, who is a physician, to a friend, Theophilus, whose name means friend of God. Of course, there's so much prophetic meaning in that. He probably was a real person. But the idea that the scriptures were written by the Holy Spirit to the friends of God, we can read God's word as God's children and God's friend. And Luke is describing in some really detail both the journey that they'd gone through, the harrowing journey, and the outcome. And he has some depth of experience both in medicine and apparently in sailing, as he gives great detail. Verse 39 of chapter 27 of the book of Acts. "When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And so they let go of the anchors." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Let go of the anchor." Okay? "They literally threw the anchors overboard and dropped them in the sea. Meanwhile, loosing the rudder ropes, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore." Sometimes you just got to say to God, "God, I'm not smart enough to figure everything out. I'm not big enough to fix this. So I'm just going to surrender to your will. And may the winds of heaven blow me into the shores of purpose." This storm that he had been going through, as Luke described it, lasted for weeks. And it was unending. In fact, early in the chapter, he says, "When we could not tell if it was day or night for several days consecutively." Can you imagine the heaviness and the darkness, the intensity of a storm when it's just as dark in the daytime as nighttime? There's no breach because all there is a heavy saturation of thick clouds and storms. So little by little, at the beginning of this journey, Paul told them, "We shouldn't sail now." It wasn't a prophetic word necessarily. He just understood that it was the season of the hurricanes, the season of high winds on the sea. But the sailor looked out, and the centurion, they couldn't see a cloud in the sky, so they sent out. But sure enough, they got into trouble. As they got into trouble, they began to throw things. They threw their cargo. It was a cargo ship, and they lost their cargo. They had to release it. And their lives were in jeopardy. They stopped eating for many days straight. And finally, Paul stands up in the middle of them and says, "Everybody, I have a word from God for you. An angel of God spoke to me and said this. The Lord said, you must be brought to Rome, and I will grant you the safe passage of all those that go with you." And Paul said, "I believe God that it will be just as it was spoken to me." I want to say this. One person in their kingdom destiny can save the lives of 273 souls. Luke gives us the exact counting. There was 273 people on that boat. Only one of them was in the center of God's will. But everybody on the boat was spared because one person was in God's will. I want you to know your whole family is blessed because of you. Your whole business is blessed because of you. Your whole neighborhood is blessed because of you. Your life is making a difference and having an impact. Also hints that Paul, when he was told that he would survive the storm, asked personally, he said, "Father, give me the souls in this ship." May God give us the bold, courageous, big faith to believe for every soul on our ships, our business, our work, our environment, wherever we are, believing God. And so the Bible says, but striking a place, verse 41, striking a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable. The front of the ship is in the sand or in the reef. The stern, the back of the ship, was being broken up because it was still in the hostility of the violent waves. So there's a couple of points there. Almost all transitions are awkward. They're uneven. We get in kind of in stages and phases, and part of us is in it. You know, we've heard from God, but our circumstances are still beating us a little bit. There's that transition. And Luke describes where the two seas met. I love that because I've seen that in Cape Town, South Africa, when you can stand there on the shore and see green waters and deep blue waters meeting, and they never mingle. They just go out and out as far as the eye can see. And in the point of transition, when two seasons are about to meet, you're in the in-between. We spend a lot of our life in the in-betweens of life, in between where we are from glory to glory, from faith to faith. We walking with God. And so in this in-between moment, as Luke describes it, we understand that something important needed to happen. And God was going to release that. And so he said there was a dismantling, a breaking up of the ship, because of the transition, because of where they'd hit. The soldiers' plan was to kill the soldiers, verse 42, lest any of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion, who was personally watching over Paul, wanted to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that those that could swim should jump overboard first and get the land, and the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped to land. Everybody got there because one person had to get there, had to get past there. And so God's promise, that's God's promise to you and I. God uses, now this is so important. God's purpose was for Paul to get to Rome, to Caesar. But God was using the in-between to give us two whole chapters of scripture written about it. And the great testimony of victories and breakthroughs, a dramatic transformation of a whole people. God uses our journey to prepare us for our destination. When we try to miss in-between moments, we disqualify ourselves from the full equipping that we need in the mountaintops of fulfilled purpose and significance. So God, no matter where you are, my precious friend today, God's going to use this season to get you ready for what he has for you in your next seasons of life. There's always a reason for every season. Never waste the season of your life because it's unwanted, unexpected, or painful. Always understand that even in the midst of those storms, there's significance in God. And God specializes in making bad things become good things in our life. God has already planned and prepared for accomplishing His purpose in every unexpected detour of our life. So what we view as a detour, as an in-between place, God sees as a valuable season of kingdom purpose for our life. Well, the story keeps going on. The chapters and verses in the scripture are given to us for reference points, but the books of the Bible written like books. So chapter 28 is a continuation. Here's what chapter 28 verse 1 says. Now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. Everybody say Malta. So Malta simply means flowing with honey. Flowing with honey. And the natives there showed us unusual kindness, for they started a fire and made us all feel welcome because it was raining and it was cold. But when Paul was gathering a bundle of sticks and laid them into the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And so when the natives saw the creature hanging on his hand, they said to each other, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he's escaped the sea, yet justice," was one of their gods, "does not allow him to live." But Paul shook off the viper into the fire and suffered no harm. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Shake it off, man. Shake it off." However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked at him for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, "He must be a god. Father, anoint your servant and your word, your people. Let us capture your purpose for this moment. In Christ's name I pray. Amen." Paul gets finally to Malta, and he's there. And it's amazing. Now, please get this. We often experience stormy waters in the transition season between two points in our life, between two seasons of our life. So storms come with the territory of transition, and they're a part of this world and part of our experience in this world. You can be in the very center of God's will for your life and still experience shipwrecks, setbacks, disappointments, and adversity. Adversity, never misinterpret adversity as God's disapproval or God's opposition to you. Often it is a prophetic sign that you're in God's will, and the storms of life, sometimes agitated by the powers of hell, are trying to keep you from your divine purpose in God. In between Paul's journey to Rome, he experienced being shipwrecked, stake bitten, and falsely accused. He survived the shipwrecks, shook off the snake bite, and God turned the shame into honor and revival. You and I both, as believers, all of us experience kind of the harshness of life in certain moments of life, in the in-betweens. But it's in these seasons of the in-betweens when God gives us the testimony, we win the victories in the valleys that we shout in as testimonies and praises in the mountain. That's what God does for us. Like I said last week, our worship, our praise is a worship in the mountain, but our praise is a weapon in the valley. God uses it. Psalm 34, here's what David said. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." I'm here to prophesy to you, you're going to make it through this season. No matter who's left you, no matter what went wrong, no matter who broke a promise, no matter what thing didn't happen, your God is God of the in-betweens. He's God of the stormy waters. He's God of this of the rainy seasons. He's God of the chaotic moments. He's God of the false accusations. And all of those things that Paul experienced, they all began to change because he didn't give up or allow his spirit to be burdened or detoured from God's promise to him. God's on your side. God's not going to fail you. God's not going to disappoint you. Just like we sang this morning, the more intense the storm, the more significant the breakthrough. And so Paul's on Malta, and he's a working bee. So he's not a big shot that went and sat in the shade. He said, when I'm an apostle, you lesser ones, go make me some fire. He dives right in. I love people that have good work ethic, that just dive in. And so he's building the fire. He grabs a bundle of sticks. He throws it in the fire. And out of the fire comes a viper, a poisonous viper. Everyone recognized it on land. And it jumped on his hand. Now listen to me. There is nothing unusual about your fire for God agitating the hidden vipers of hell. And sometimes out of nowhere comes poisonous attacks, betrayals, accusations, disappointments. And the devil, listen, if you're going to start a fire, you're going to awaken sleeping devils. But the same fire that awakens them will destroy them. And Paul shook it off back into the fire. The Holy Ghost inside of you is more powerful than the weapons of hell against you. God is not going to let the devil win because he assaults you. And Paul, this viper's on his hand, and he's you know, stands there. By instinct, he shakes it back off. And so he stands there. And this is an important point, because now everybody is watching Paul. Everybody's around him. Everybody's noticed what happened to him. It's always a divine setup when a crowd is gathered to watch your setback. Why? Because they're about to witness your supernatural comeback. Let me say it again. It's always a divine setup when a crowd is gathered to watch your setback. Why? Because they are about to witness your supernatural comeback. So whenever God allows attention to be drawn to your trouble, it's not so he can increase your shame quota. It's because if you don't quit, he's going to turn that whole thing around. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard and pushes him away. But the devil, here's what Joseph said in Genesis 50:20. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, as it is this day when many people have been saved. Joseph said, God put his hand on your plan and made good come out of bad. God is so powerful. The moment he touches something, he could command anything to become good in its eventual outcome. Joseph's job was not to quit until God was done. Listen, that's your job too. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Don't retreat your faith, and don't let disappointment cloud your judgment. The God who loves you in the mountaintop loves you in the valley. And he's the God of the in-betweens of life. Those seasons of passage, those seasons of journey, those seasons of divine process where we grow in faith. And the older you get with God, the more you appreciate your in-between seasons, where you really learned who God was, really, really, really learned who you were, where you really learned the power of God's word and the power of God's spirit in your life. Oh, the in-betweens are such awesome moments. So I have a word for you today. Shake off the snake. Shake off the snake. You may have been bitten, but you don't have to let that bite poison your system. You may have been bitten, but don't let that poison into your system. What do you say, Pastor Mike? Well, here's what Paul said in Ephesians. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't sin. Don't give in to anger. We all can feel the impulse of anger. A thought awakens an emotion. Someone does something inappropriate. We have the flash of anger. We can either give in to it and let it poison our system, or we can say, nope, I'm going to forgive that person. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be bitter, judgmental, cynical. Come on. For people that think it's kind of cute to be cynical, all cynicism is concealed rage. And when someone says, you know, the people that are cynical, and it's popular in this culture, but all it is angry, broken people concealing and acting as if they're trying to be funny, but really they're raging on the inside with brokenness and poison that has gone through their systems and now defiling their lives. But shake it off. Isaiah 54 says it like this, verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. What does God say? The weapon has no power unless you lend your faith to it. The enemy has no power. Satan has been defeated. Any place he rules in this earth, he rules by deception and not by authority. Deception is when we're convinced that his weapon is a superior factor of force in our life that we can't resist, repel, or overcome. But the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Interesting enough, it goes on to give some definition about how weapons primarily come into our life. And every word that has risen up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is from me, says God. So God says this, weapons come in the shape of words. The spiritual world governs the natural world. And words govern the spiritual world. And people that are spiritual understand the power of their words. God can't do it until you say it. And when what you're saying is in disharmony with what he wants to do, you forfeit the completion or fulfillment of that promise. And so we have to make sure we shake off the temptation to, listen, God can't bless it until you stop cursing it. And God wants you to be in the blessing business. Amen. Come on, like for 6 years, I'm driving to our parking lot here. And every time I call it the Grand Canyon. Oh God, this parking lot, so many potholes. And I'm just complaining about it. And a year ago, he said to me, would you please stop cursing your parking lot? I said, oh, sorry. And he said, bless it. So I drive for the next several months. I bless this parking lot to be repaved. Well, it was like 6 weeks later, it got repaved. It was like a miracle. And I go, man, I went through 6 years of misery because I was saying the wrong things. Because my words were at disharmony with God's will. And so God wants us. So I declare over your life, no weapon formed against you could prosper. I declare over your life, any word curse spoken against you, I don't care who spoke it, it has no power over it. It's broken, canceled, removed in Christ's name. That's all God's promised to us. Shake off that snake. The devil is a liar. My last point to you this morning is this. Always leave in victory. So Paul's on Malta. It means flowing with honey. But it doesn't seem like flowing with honey when you're shipwrecked, then you're snake bit, and then you're falsely accused. That's a bad afternoon. How'd your day go? Well, I'm shipwrecked, then I got snake bit, then everybody thought I was a murderer. That's a tough day. So, but listen to me. Paul never gave in to what the storm was trying to do to him. And so he shook off the snake. Everybody's watching him. And when they saw him not fall down dead, I love what Luke says, because Luke's a doctor. He said, they thought he would swell up. You know, that must have been one of the symptoms. He didn't swell up, and he didn't fall down dead. And they kept watching him for a long time. Please get this. If you're in a storm, you're being watched. If you're in an in-between season, someone's watching you. They watched him for a long time. And when he didn't fall down, they changed their minds. Wow. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, God used Paul's adversity to bring a testimony of heaven's anointing and power. And everybody wanted to know how that happened. How did you do that? How did you not? Because when you go through things that people can imagine themselves going through, and you survive them, and people wonder if they would survive them, it gives you a chance to witness about the grace of your loving God in the moments of life that are hard and difficult, in the in-betweens of life. Now, here's a point. In this world, the hidden honey of God's redemptive purpose is in every place, every person, and every circumstance. So hidden in the valley of your in-between right now is a river of honey, of glory, a testimony, a praise, a victory, a breakthrough. It's hidden. And So in every family, God has a purpose for every family, every individual, every church, every city, every nation, every season of time, and every circumstance of life. So it's inobvious. It's not obvious. So you have to look with spiritual eyes to see what your natural eyes aren't telling you. If all we see is what our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our taste, our touch, if all we see is the five senses of life, we will always miss the hidden purpose of God. But Paul says, nope, God wants to do something. God, I declare over you, the honey is about to start flowing in your life. The honey of heaven, the grace of God, the testimony of his faithfulness, the victories of life. Samson was walking through. He had fallen in love. He was probably singing a good Beatles song, walking down the road. All we need is love, love, love. He's happy as can be. And the Bible says in the book of Judges, out of nowhere, unexpectedly, a young, hungry lion leaped out at him and attacked him. And the Bible says the moment the lion roared, the honey began to flow. And the anointing of God came upon him. Everybody wants to be anointed. Nobody wants to face a lion. But God will awaken your anointing by having you face a lion. And the Bible says Samson tore that lion apart like it was nothing. Supernatural strength gave him a supernatural consequence. He would have never known who he was until he faced the lion. Okay? So he throws the lion, he throws it on, there's a road, a path. He throws it on the side of the path. And a few days later, he comes back. And inside the carcass, a hive was built by a group of bees. Okay? They'd built a hive. It was even filled with honey, fresh honey. He dipped down into the carcass of a lion that was once tried to kill him and lifted out honey. See, hidden in the lion's attack against you is the honey of heaven. It's hidden in there. He took it to his parents, but he didn't tell him how he got it. He took them the honey. They would have never, well, I killed a lion, the bees made a hive in it, and this is the far-reaching consequences of your victories. The victories you win when no one's watching allow you to have victories when everyone's watching. Samson's story. Okay, so God's helping him. So last couple points. So Paul's there. They call for him to come stay at a man's house named Publius in Acts 28. Please don't name your son Publius. So Publius is just a transliteration of the word in Aramaic of popular. It means popular. So it's amazing how you can go from being a criminal to being popular. It's like that. God can snap his fingers and you can be in front of the most important people in the world. Okay? Every time I'm in one of those moments, I'm always laughing. I'm always looking, how did I get here? So Paul's there at Publius' house. Publius' father is sick. Paul prays for him, and Luke says, heals him. Interesting. Luke says, Paul healed him. Interesting his phrasing. Well, Paul carried the anointing. He released the anointing that healed him. It was Paul's action of faith. And then the Bible says, every sick person on the island came to that house and was healed. Every disease was removed. Now, there's no way Paul would just pray for the sick without winning their souls to Christ. Let me say it like this. At Malta, an in-between station of life for Paul, Paul saw every sick, demon-possessed, every suffering and painful condition of life healed, and every single soul on the island saved. Never leave until victory comes. Always leave the season you're in victory. What does that mean? God has something for you to gain from it, to learn from it, to grow from it, to see him accomplish through it. The hidden purpose of God is all around us. Oh, God wants us to understand the value of these unwanted, often seasons of life. Now, here's my last couple of points. It's never over till God says it's good. And God makes, in Genesis 1, God makes the creation. And every one of the six phases, God steps back, looks at the stars, looks at what he's done, and he says out of his mouth, it's good. Your story's not over till God steps back and says, oh, it's good. Here's what Paul said. We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, called by his purpose. Yeah, it's not over till you can step back with God and say, okay, Papa, you've made it good. You've made my worst thing become my best thing. You've turned my shipwreck into a supernatural deliverance for a nation. You've turned my snake bite into the healing of the broken people of Malta. You've taken my setback and made it become a comeback. I just finished reading a book last week called God of the Comeback. And I'm excited for your comeback, dear friend. That's who God is in your story. And the last idea is this. Never let the method God uses to transport you distract you from the mission he's brought you to. So you can be so upset about how you got here. Okay, let's help us get it real. You can be so upset about the last 3 years. You miss everything God had for you in this year. I don't know what got you to Phoenix, Arizona. I just know we're glad you're here. I don't know what got you into 2017. You're supposed to be here. And so don't get offended, okay? Many people become offended by the method of transportation God has moved them with, that they miss out on the miracle waiting for them there. So if we're not careful, Paul could have set up a shop and just found a little cave, hidden himself up there and said, man, this island sucks. And just complained about the ship, the soldiers, the storm, the rain, the vapor, the people gossiping about him. He could have easily had a pity party. And yet Paul said, no, I'm shaking off this stuff. Oh, God's about to supernaturally fulfill in your family a purpose that's been waiting to be understood and claimed. God's about to make sense out of this season that's been chaotic and uncertain. God's about to help you find value, meaning, and divine purpose in this in-between season of your life. And instead of, many years ago, here's what happened to me. I became seriously depressed because when hope walks out, depression walks in. Hope is oxygen to our soul. Without it, our souls suffocate. But so, and one of the things I made the mistake, I said this, I'm going to put my life kind of on hold, and when things get better, I'll get better. But things in my story didn't get better until 6 or 7 years later. And so about 2.5 years into it, I realized, man, if I wait for life to get better before I get better, I might wait my whole life on the sidelines. I'm going to seize this moment. And I went back and finished my graduate work. I lost 80 pounds of weight. I did all these things to help me get healthy, preparing, receiving from God, seizing the opportunities, understanding my journey, understanding my own life. Oh, everything I used to think when I was going through that storm, nothing, it was so intrinsically evil. How could God possibly make something that is so evil become good? But I just didn't know God as good as I thought I did. There's nothing in your life so bad that your loving God can't make it turn out good. And he wants you to trust him, to rely upon him, to lean upon him. And in the in-between seasons of life, he wants you to take his hand. He's going to help you grow. And when you come out of that season, like Paul didn't just come out of Malta. He came out of Malta with the greatest victory. A whole nation saved. A whole island healed. And when he stood before Caesar and went to Rome, he had his greatest testimony ever. He was ready for that mountaintop, because he had qualified for it. by conquering the giants in the valley of in between. Oh, precious friend, don't give up. Your God's about to show you He's God of the in-betweens of life. Would you stand to your feet and worship the Lord with me, please? Prayer team, join me down front, please. Thank you, God. Faithful you are. Help me over.
Faithful you are.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven.
Faithful forever.
Come on, declare it out of your own mouth. Your God is faithful. All your promises, loving God, are yes and amen.
And all your promises.
Come on. Someone's giving the devil a black eye today. Declare it this morning. Faithful you are. That's who you are, God.
Faithful forever you will be.
Sing it again.
Faithful you are.
Jesus, thank you.
Faithful forever you are. Faithful you are.
All your promises, Jesus. Everything's about to shift. Everything's about to shift. When you can take a licking and keep on ticking. When the devil throws his best at you, but here you are worshiping God in a season of in between. Man, oh man, everything begins to move in your world. And honey starts to flow. John Paul, if you're listening, I wanted to show this. Last night, I had the honor of praying for a U.S. congressman. If you have a picture of Congressman Franks, would you throw it up there quickly? If you have access to it back there in the access room. Last night, that's Congressman Trent Franks. And Renee brought him to church last night. And when he walked in the room, I had a vision. And I said, Lord, please let me prophesy over that man. Sure enough, came up and prophesied over him. So here is the vision. I saw him standing, and he couldn't see what was behind him. When he turned around, there was a multitude so large you couldn't count it. And the Lord said, tell him those are all the lives that will be saved because of his stand against abortion. Come on, that's real. That's as real as it gets right there. I'm telling you something. The amazing things that God has allowed me to do. I'm always so humbled by the things God allows me to do. But the things I'm shouting from mountains in 2017, I earned in valleys in the in-betweens. Oh, get there, folks. Don't give up. Something wonderful is waiting to happen in your story. Listen, the Lord spoke to me. Someone has a heart valve issue with a valve that's not working right. It's leaking or however they describe it. I saw the Lord put his hand right on that valve. I loosen a miracle to everyone here with any heart issue in the name of Christ Jesus. And this morning, there's a special anointing to pray for people that you feel like you're right in the middle of your storm. Today, we're going to prophesy at this altar, pray over you, declare God's promises over you. And my friend, today's a turning point in your life. If you say, Pastor Mike, man, I needed this message. I'm going through all kinds of stuff in my in-between. Come on, you race down this altar. Today's your breakthrough day, a miracle day. Today's something shifting for you. God is helping you, and you're about to have your Malta flowing with honey moment. God's about to release a miracle in your family, in your business, in your story, in your marriage, in your journey, wherever you are. Help is on its way to you, precious child of God. Come on, everybody, worship the Lord with those that need prayer. Come forward.
All your promises are yes and amen.